These days, hardly a week passes without a news report about an organ transplant. Tiny Jamie Fiss captured national attention when she received a life-saving liver transplant at University of Minnesota Hospitals. Young Brandon Hall gained a nation's grief when he fell victim to problems medical technology still can't control. And behind those news reports are persons who accept the realities and find a reason to hope. One such person is a young Twin Cities woman awaiting a heart transplant, which could occur any day now. Steve Murphy reports.
I go through times where I think I am sick of being sick. You know, I'm tired of gasping for air. I'm tired of not being able to eat and just do normal things. But now, with the transplant, I can say, well, they can do something for me, so I don't have to feel this way.
Her name is Debbie, and at age 25, with a husband and a 2-year-old daughter, she is imprisoned by her illness. It's called cardiomyopathy, the same degenerative heart disease that Barney Clark suffered. It makes moving from one room to another a major task.
I walk short lengths, and I'm short of breath, I'm tired. I generally have to take a nap about 11 o'clock in the morning, because just by getting up and getting dressed, taking my shower, then I'm tired again.
Her heart, doctors tell her, is operating at 7% of a normal heart's capacity. After a multitude of medical tests and endless personal and financial arrangements, some of them still unresolved, Debbie has been told she's first on the transplant list when a donor heart becomes available. The operation will be performed by a team of doctors at University of Minnesota Hospitals. More than 20 heart transplants have been performed there, including a few in the past month, which appear to be very successful in the early stages. That gives Debbie hope.
So right now, to me, I'm looking forward to it as being something good that's finally going to happen.
Now, Debbie stays by a phone and waits. I'm Steve Murphy.
A week ago, we met Debbie Pylo, a 25-year-old Twin Cities woman awaiting a heart transplant. She's still waiting. And as Steve Murphy reports, the waiting gets a little tougher every day.
It's tougher mentally, waiting. I find myself jumping a little bit when the phone rings.
9 days have passed since doctors at University of Minnesota Hospitals told Debbie Pylo she was first on the transplant list. The degenerative disease she suffers, cardiomyopathy, makes life more difficult with the passage of time.
My activities are limited to just walking very short distances, like maybe to the kitchen to get myself something to eat or to the bathroom. If I walk up a flight of stairs, I have to take about 10 minutes to recover from it.
She's been told her heart has more than doubled in size and is functioning at 7% of a normal heart's capacity. She's also been told the wait could be months. One recent patient waited 3 months for a new heart, but others have waited only a few weeks. Doctors had hoped, in a grim but realistic way, that a donor might be found during the Memorial Day weekend, when traffic fatalities rise. Accidents are, after all, a major source of donor transplants. As Debbie Pylo sees it, part of the hopelessness of an accidental death can be erased.
I will die if I don't get a heart. And it's something that can be prevented. So if someone is killed and they donate their heart to me, they're kind of saving a life.
So when will it happen?
For some reason, June 12th struck me. I don't know why.
She says that would allow her to attend her grandmother's 80th birthday and her daughter's 3rd. I'm Steve Murphy.
Some friends have set up a fund to help meet financial demands of the operation. Donations can be sent to the Debbie Pylo Heart Transplant Fund at Crystal State Bank. Debbie Pylo is still waiting for a heart transplant at University of Minnesota Hospitals. Steve Murphy takes a look at the disease that makes a transplant the woman's only hope.
Well, I was told I would need a heart transplant 2 years ago, because I had the disease, the cardiomyopathy, but they felt that it wouldn't be necessary for 8 to 10 years. But as it turns out, the disease progressed so rapidly, and I've been getting slowly sicker and sicker and less able to do things.
Debbie Pilo is only 25, but already she's had two pacemakers implanted, the first when she was 19. She is stricken by a disease of mysterious origins. Cardiomyopathy is a degenerative disease affecting the heart muscle. Dr. J. Ernesto Molina of the University of Minnesota says doctors are still guessing as to the cause of the disease. Some think it may be triggered by other sicknesses, such as influenza. But doctors do know there's no cure, no treatment, short of a transplant.
Once he's diagnosed and the patient has heart failure, then the prognosis is very poor. Most of them are dead within the year. There is no improvement, no drug that can repair the damage that occur in the muscle.
The effects of the disease can vary, but in all cases, it makes even the most casual lifestyle a daily struggle.
All these patients become very limited. They can't do anything, and the degree of disability varies from just being able to walk to the bathroom to maybe half a block. And they can go beyond that because the heart just doesn't pump.
For now, Debbie Pilo is better off than some transplant candidates. There's enough energy and willpower to care for her 2-year-old daughter. Still, eating is limited, and sleeping is often done in a reclining chair to make breathing easier. Dr. Molina, who will perform the heart transplant on Debbie Pilo, is confident a new heart will be found. That confidence is echoed by the patient. Debbie Pilo says her desire to be normal again nearly removes the fear of uncertainty.
I've had, like I said, 2 years to think about heart transplants. And the prospect of being well again is very exciting to me. But if you ask me about 5 minutes before they put me under for the surgery, I think I'll be a little nervous then.
She is first on the transplant list, as she's been for 15 days, and she waits. I'm Steve Murphy.
Friends have established a fund to help meet financial demands of the operation. Donations can be sent to the Debbie Pilo Heart Transplant Fund at Crystal State Bank. In the past few weeks, we've met a Twin Cities woman awaiting a heart transplant and the surgeon who'll perform it. Steve Murphy takes a look at one critical aspect of the operation, time.
25-year-old Debbie Pilo, who's been first on the transplant list for 21 days, says she jumps every time the phone rings.
Especially later on in the evening, I don't know, because it seems like during the nighttime is the time they would call.
She's been told it could be a few weeks, a few months, or longer. 24 heart transplants have been performed at the University of Minnesota in the past few years, nearly a fourth of them in the past few months. Transplant surgeon Dr. J. Ernesto Molina says the availability of donor hearts is seasonal.
Sometimes we have a long list of recipients waiting, and by coincidence, this last couple months, we had an unusual amount of donors. So we had 3 or 4 in a row. And part of the reason is that the other centers, like Chicago, Milwaukee, all those areas, they are now aware that we are looking for donors.
So much depends on time.
The time during which the heart can be kept or saved is no more than 2 hours. So we always estimate that ideally, any distance only 1 hour away, an airplane, is as far as we should go.
Suddenly, to save a life, the doctors, nurses, and others who are the transplant team become their own travel agents, couriers, and hospital liaisons. Jets are chartered to retrieve donor hearts. Taxicab ride times must be estimated. Distances within a 5-state area must be figured. Weather must be calculated. Donor suitability must be determined. Donor families must be consulted. All within hours. And, of course, the patient.
I jump when the phone rings, and I also think, all right, the next time the phone rings, it'll be it.
I'm Steve Murphy.
A reminder that some of Debbie's friends have set up a fund to help her. Donations can be sent to the Debbie Pilo Heart Transplant Fund at Crystal State Bank in Crystal, Minnesota. 1 month ago, we met Debbie Pilo, a 25-year-old Twin Cities woman awaiting a heart transplant at University of Minnesota Hospitals. She's still waiting, even though she's been first on the transplant list for 31 days. The waiting has provided time to think about the future and the concerns shared by all transplant patients. As Steve Murphy reports, one of those concerns is money.
Ask any transplant patient about costs. The answer is the same.
I am very angry about that. I cannot believe they can do that to people. I can't believe in this day and age people will be refused medical care because the insurance companies won't pay for something.
From Debbie Pilo's point of view, to borrow a phrase, these are the best of times and the worst of times. The best because she lives in an era when her fatal heart disease, cardiomyopathy, can be treated. But the worst, because the technology is so new, so expensive, that insurance companies have thus far failed to acknowledge it.
As far as they're concerned, a transplant is totally experimental. And they don't want to have to pay for anything experimental. So basically, they're telling you, you should die rather than have them pay for this surgery.
Labeling transplants experimental has been the practice of most insurance companies. But just yesterday, something happened that may force companies to reassess their policies. Doctors from all across the country, in a conference sponsored by the National Institute of Health, approved a report which says such operations, in this case liver transplants, are not experimental, but valid proven forms of therapy for some life-threatening diseases. Dr. Harvey Sharp, much involved in the child liver transplant program at the University of Minnesota, was among the participants in the Washington conference.
Insurance companies, on the other hand, they're going to have various caveats in regards to who they're going to pay for and who they're not. But they no longer, you know, as a result of this conference, can fall back and say that for at least certain diseases that this is can anymore be termed experimental procedures.
But though many transplants may be recognized as clinically tested treatments, the price remains the same, between $100,000 and $200,000 for most at the University of Minnesota, and insurance companies say coverage would mean an increase in rates for everyone while benefiting a few. Debbie Pilo is fortunate in one respect. She's a resident of Minnesota and can receive substantial assistance for her operation at the university. But there are limits, and she still must pay nearly $10,000 on her own. Friends are helping her in the way friends have helped most other transplant patients as the debate over who pays continues. I'm Steve Murphy.
Next time, a look at the question surrounding the government's role in transplant surgery. By the way, some of Debbie's friends have set up a fund to help her. Donations can be sent to the Debbie Pilo Heart Transplant Fund at the Crystal State Bank in Crystal, Minnesota. Last week in our continuing series on a Twin Cities woman awaiting a heart transplant, we examined the issue of cost and problems transplant patients face in seeking insurance coverage. Today, Steve Murphy looks at the role the government is playing in addressing the question, who pays?
Debbie Pilo and others like her, shunned by their insurance companies, say government is the only alternative.
There's going to have to be some kind of, I think, a federal program, for one thing, because right now the federal government more or less feels that supplementing for transplant patients, because there's so few of us that need transplants, it's not worthwhile.
The government is, in fact, considering such a program. Dr. Don Young is a deputy director of Medicare.
We've chosen that approach in looking at heart transplants and are currently in the middle of a study where Medicare is paying for heart transplants in a limited number of institutions for the purposes of gathering more information about transplants, not necessarily medical and scientific information alone, but the costs, the impact on families, technical things of how to pay.
The University of Minnesota, where Debbie Pilo will receive her new heart, is one of six medical centers participating in the study. Dr. Young told us from his Baltimore office that a handful of heart transplants at the U of M have been funded through Medicare as the federal government explores important questions.
One question is, do we want to take transplants or any other technology as a society and automatically entitle people to Medicare or to some other form of payment because they have that disease? To this date, only kidneys have been treated in that manner. That's one very large overview question for society as a whole. The second question is, if we do not approach it that way, then we approach it in terms of those individuals who are already entitled to Medicare, or Medicaid as the case may be, is that service one that is covered by the program? And the Medicare program is an insurance program in many respects.
The answers are another year or two away. In the meantime, people like 25-year-old Debbie Pilo, a wife and mother whose only hope is a $175,000 transplant, will seek help wherever it can be found. She is more fortunate than some, receiving substantial aid from Minnesota and Hennepin County, but still having to pay nearly $10,000 on her own for the transplant. And just yesterday, she learned all the cost of lifetime medications and treatment after the operation will not be funded by her HMO. For people like her, the question, is it worth it, is simple.
I'm not being cured. I'm putting aside one set of health problems that the medical world can't deal with anymore for a new set of medical problems that they can deal with and they can control.
I'm Steve Murphy.
Debbie Pilo has been first on the transplant list for days now. In recent weeks, the 25-year-old Twin Cities woman has shared her views on the financial burdens of such an operation. But as Steve Murphy reports, money has become a secondary concern. What matters most now is finding a heart.
I wish they would hurry up and find me a donor. I really could use one right about now.
She kids about her condition, but she means it, especially now, because the waiting is getting tougher, physically and mentally.
I feel worse. Like I said, it's harder to breathe. I've slowed up quite a bit. I have to have much more help than I did before. And mentally, I'd say it's getting harder to wait because there's always that idea in the back of my mind that it may take too long to find a donor.
She thought there'd be a donor by now. Her hope was prompted by several recent heart transplants at the University of Minnesota. But there's simply no way of knowing when it will happen. At the U, the shortest wait has been a week, the longest, 4 months. Debbie Pilo believes the wait could be shorter and could mean her survival if the need were known.
I would plead for people to become donors, and that if they knew of anyone who was in a situation that they could be a donor, that they tell their doctor or the hospital or whatever, so that I could get a donor. I realize it's a hard thing to do at that time in someone else's tragedy, but to at least give someone else a chance to live.
I'm Steve Murphy.
Debbie Pilo has been first on the transplant list for 46 days now. A Debbie Pilo Heart Transplant Fund has been set up to help Debbie. It's located at the Crystal State Bank. At this time, for each of the past 7 weeks, we've heard from Debbie Pilo, the young woman from Crystal awaiting a heart transplant. Sadly, this will be our final report. Debbie died Tuesday night before a donor could be found. Her death, however, underlined her cause, greater awareness of the need for donors. Steve Murphy reports.
All right, the next time the phone rings, it'll be it. And I kind of hope when I answer the phone, it'll be the call I'm waiting for.
But her call never came, even after being first on the transplant list for 50 days. Why? Because of all the persons who died during those 50 days, too few were donors. It's a reality that Jim Feehan of Glencoe overcame. He received a new heart 3 years ago.
Debbie's situation was unfortunate. We don't have enough donors that we can go in and order off the shelf, so to speak. And that's very clearly explained to all of us who've gotten in a transplant program. It's an iffy waiting game. We may get the organ that you need in time. We may not.
And why aren't there enough donors? Debbie thought there might be enough, if only more knew of the need.
I would wish that everyone would be a donor and become more aware that there are so many people that need that kind of help. And, well, I guess what it gets down to is that when a person dies, their organs aren't going to do them any more good, and they can save someone else's life.
And of many of us who do know of the need, there's a reluctance due to fear. Fear of facing our own mortality.
I appreciate full well the idea that someone using something from your body is kind of a scary thought to a lot of people. And yet, traveling around talking as I have for the American Heart Association, I have found so many hundreds of thousands of people that are anxious and willing to accept this premise that if, God forbid, my life should be ever irretrievably gone, what greater gift than can I pass on than the gift of life?
Jim Feehan is alive today because he's one of the lucky ones whose donor arrived in time. His children have placed a sign on his golf cart, christening the cart Serendipity. Finding donors doesn't have to be serendipitous. Not if more of us became donors through designations on our driver's license or by carrying donor cards. They're available by calling the University of Minnesota at 376-1906. This is the final chapter in our series, but it's not the final chapter in our story, the story of the dying and of the donors. Though Debbie Pilo has gone and Jim Feehan has stayed, their calls for awareness of the need for donors carry the same reverence for life.
I don't think people realize just feeling good every day. They don't realize what an important thing it is.
I am totally convinced that the most marvelous thing in this entire universe is human life itself.
I'm Steve Murphy.
A postscript. University of Minnesota doctors plan to determine whether a potential heart donor exists in Kansas City today, less than 48 hours after Debbie Pilo died. But the doctors aren't sure whether the Kansas City donor would have been suitable for Debbie, nor do they know whether other transplant candidates at the university will be able to receive that heart. There will be a memorial service tomorrow at 2 p.m. for Debbie Pilo at the Faith Lilac Way Lutheran Church in Robbinsdale.